to Proverbs 13. Bad number. Proverbs 13, verse 3. So last week I had prepared this sermon and I went to print it and my printer wouldn't work. And I had to shuffle real quickly before the service and find one of my sermons that had already been printed that I'd preached a while back that was far enough back to where you wouldn't think you were getting leftovers, you know. I do repeat my sermons pretty frequently, but try not to do it from one week to the next, amen. They asked the old black preacher one time, how come you keep preaching the same thing? He says, because you're not doing anything about it, you know. Once you do that, he said, I want you to do something about this, I'll move on to the next subject. But anyway, my printer wouldn't work, so I had to scramble for Sunday school and for the regular service and use the, some notes that were previously printed. But I tried everything. I tried reloading the software for the printer on my laptop. I tried putting ink in it. You know, one thing, nothing would work. Every time it would say it was going to find the cable or the connection, it would work up to 5% and then just get stuck. And after about 30 minutes of that, I'm like, man, you know, just pull the plug and just be disgusted. So last night at about 12:30, I'm in here working on the Sunday school message, and the printer all of a sudden goes, and then just starts spitting out my sermon. I'm great, great, amen. Finally, whatever bondage it was under has been released, and praise the Lord, I can preach this message. Because, you know, what's often called in the Old Testament when the prophets would receive a message from God, they'd call it the burden. And it was something that they had to carry, and it wasn't until they delivered it that they got shed of it, amen? And so this thing has been following me all week long, and I hope it's a blessing to you, but I also hope that it's something that will reprove and exhort you to good works. Proverbs 13, verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Brother Luke, would you pray for us, please?
Lord God, all Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for our grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for our love and care. Most of all, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our life. Lord, I pray that this message would touch everyone's heart in the morning. And I pray, dear God, that it will carry us throughout the week. We will receive another good, blessed message from our pastor, which always seems to have something that hits our heart. And last week, it really rattled me. The message might not be what he was going to preach, but it touched me tremendously. And I had to go home and do things that I usually do not do. But this week, Lord, we pray that the special would enlighten our soul. Amen. And help us to walk in a way that it would praise the Lord Jesus Christ. In his purest, holiest, and blessed name we pray. Even so, from Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, when a preacher gets up, if he's a Bible-believing preacher, he's prayed about what God wants him to preach, he gets up and he's not, I'm not using this as an opportunity to single anybody out. Don't feel like, oh, he's been spying on me or he's picking on me. That's simply not the case. I just preach the whole counsel of God and try to be a blessing and try to be a help to you. I don't know whether anybody in this room has this specific problem, but we all need to hear this message, and so I'm going to preach it as such. Maybe it will hit you right between the eyes. As they say, if the shoe fits, wear it. And if it applies, then don't say amen, say oh me. You know, I don't know, but try to endure to the end and get a blessing. I'm going to preach about the sin of cursing this morning. There's a lot of sins that can be committed with speech, if you think about it. Lying, slander, gossip, complaining. But James chapter 3, verse 8 says, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And there's an abundance of scripture that testifies against the sins of the tongue. Proverbs 10, verse 19 says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. That verse says, the more you talk, the more possibility there is of sinning, which puts me as a preacher in a pretty bad spot, amen? I mean, the Bible says God chose the foolishness of preaching. There's nothing more foolish than a man standing before a group of people and shooting his mouth off for an hour and a half or 2 hours, however the case may be. That's foolishness. But God chose that foolishness in order to save them that believe. There's something as a miracle that takes place. Now, you may have, there's probably the majority of you that don't have a real problem with cursing. And yet, I'll say something in this message that the Holy Spirit can take and put His finger on in your life and say, this is what you need to deal with. This is what I want you to pay attention to. And that's a miracle right there, because I'm oblivious to it, don't know. Even if I did know whatever you needed, I wouldn't be able to meet that need. The miracle of Bible preaching is that the preacher stands up, he's prayed, the congregation has prayed, and the Bible says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Now, I'm not picking on anybody, don't intend to pick on anybody, but like I said, I'm called to preach what God lays upon my heart. Proverbs 12, verse 13 says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Proverbs 21, 23, but whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. The Bible has a lot to say about the tongue, the mouth, speech. Psalm 39, verse 1 says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. A bridle is an instrument that you use to keep a horse and direct where he's going. You know, that bridle puts pressure on him to keep going the right way. And he says, I'm going to keep my mouth with a bridle. And that bridle, of course, is this thing right here, this book. I want to bring a message about the particular sin of cursing. And this subject is so ubiquitous, so commonplace, that one can easily become desensitized to it. You know, we live in a kind of generation of people where little kids are using language that they ought not be using. And you can easily become desensitized and numb to the point of ignorance. You know, some people, they curse without even realizing that they're cursing. It's just, it's a vocabulary to them. And we don't want to excuse that kind of language when the Bible holds us to a higher standard than the world. And we don't want to resign ourselves to it. Oh, well, there's nothing that can be done either in my life or anybody else's life. It's just the way I am, you know. It's my temperament. It's my upbringing and all those kind of things. No, the Bible says Lot's righteous soul was vexed from day to day with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And I would say that if you don't, as a Christian, if you don't have a problem with cursing, you certainly are surrounded with people that have that problem. And if you're not on your guard and on your toes and aware and prepared to prevent it with blessing, you'll find yourself uttering some of those what they call BC words, amen, before Christ, amen, especially in traffic. Especially when you get to a high intense situation where you're between a rock and a hard place. When you get frustrated, when you get angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. I mean, there's some things that you should be angry about, amen? But never to the point of losing control over your mouth. Never to the point where you're using God's name in vain. Never to the point where you're cursing. You be angry, yes, but be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. It'd be kind of ridiculous to be angry about something that you have no power to change. All you can do is either pray about it or get away from it the best you can. Amen. The last few generations are not only foul-mouthed, but they're hypocritical when it comes to condemning speech that they don't agree with. Years ago, the comedians all hollered, free speech, free speech, free speech. We want to be able to curse on television. We don't want to be censored by anybody. And now the comedians are telling people, you can't say that. You can't say that. Oh, you can't say that. You know, I don't watch them, but everybody, whether you watch it or not, you saw at the Oscars, Will Smith went and smacked a guy for making a joke about his bald-headed wife. She's got some kind of condition that causes her to lose her hair. Well, you know, I mean, you make fun of everything under the sun. People make fun of Christ. Big deal. Somebody made fun of your wife. Grow up. Amen. Be a man about it. What he did was what a child would do, and losing his temper and smacking the guy. And maybe he needed to be smacked. But in that situation, when you've got a whole bunch of people and all that stuff, it's not the time to do it. But the guy lost control of himself, and he cursed him from the audience. Blankety blank, you know, blankety blank, you know. So it's common. It's something that everybody is so used to that we end up making excuses for it. And like I said, this generation is not only foul-mouthed, but they're hypocrites, because they're condemning speech that they don't agree with, that they don't like. They love to quote, "Judge not, lest you be judged." You know, that's the favorite verse of the lost. But then they turn around and judge everyone and everything by their own flawed measure. You take rap lyrics, for example. I wouldn't recommend that you listen to that stuff or investigate it, but if some black person has a problem with anybody saying the N-word, and you know what the N-word is, amen, and I'm going to say it for the sake of the kids in the church. I want to be an example to them. But if black people were so upset about people that use that word, how come every other word in their music, and then if you want to call that music, how come every other word in a rap song is that word? I told a guy at Domino's, one of the delivery drivers that works with me. I came in the other night and I told him, I said, your car just called me a racial slur, man. He's like, you turn that garbage off, hey, man. Nobody wants to hear it but you. But, you know, they're hypocrites. They say, you can't say that word, but they can say it. You know, they can say it the right way. You say it the wrong way. You say it the wrong way because you're the wrong color. You know, how ridiculous and stupid is that? You know that there have been people that have been in government that have lost their positions, people that have lost high positions because they used the word niggardly? Did you know that the word niggardly has nothing to do with race or being black? It means to be miserly or stingy. And somebody heard niggardly and they lost their minds and demanded that these people be fired. And it happened. Yeah. It happened. And even after they told them, listen, man, this is an actual word in the dictionary. It means something other than what you're thinking. It has no connection whatsoever to the N-word. They still couldn't get over it. You know why? Because they're demon-possessed. They're full of the devil. And they can't think straight. They've got a foul mouth because they've got a foul spirit. They got a dirty mouth because they got a dirty heart. These deranged sinners throw fits at Bible preaching and become fainting lilies when exposed to straight sound speech. Isaiah 29:21 says that make a man an offender for a word. Boy, is that ever the generation we live in. You know, in the book of Acts, the Bible says they gave Paul audience till he reached one word, Gentile. And when he said Gentiles, they said, away with such a man, it's not fit that he should live. He used the G word, amen, Gentile. Isaiah 29:21, that make a man an offender for a word and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. There's the street preacher. And turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Now, before we get into this, there's a humorous side to cursing. You know that because that's why a lot of comedians think they can't be funny without cursing. Because there's something humorous about it. You ever see the Looney Tunes cartoon with Yosemite Sam where he has, an uncle that passed away and he's going to inherit this treasure and this millions and a mansion. But the key thing is he has to go a week without losing his temper. And you know Yosemite Sam, he's always losing his temper, right? And of course Bugs Bunny's just egging him on. And that's one of my favorite cartoons. I mean, I grew up watching that stuff and just hilarious. Oh, Yosemite Sam, every time he's trying to be cool, he's trying to keep his cool, and then Bugs Bunny will slam his face in the door and Yosemite Sam just lets it go. Rip, rack, frick, rick, rack, 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 rack. And it's just funny, man. There's something humorous about that. Everybody knows that. There's something humorous about cursing. My grandpa, French Cajun, he didn't speak French until he was like in sixth grade. They had to change the schools over to English. He would just talk to his buddies at lunch and say, what did the teacher say? Because he didn't speak English at that point. So he had a very strong French Cajun accent. And one time he was working under his car and a wrench slipped or something and he grazed his knuckles and he went to curse, but he realized that his two sons, my dad and his younger brother, were there right there under the car with him and watching him and hearing him. And so he went, my grandpa had a way of cursing where he would go, he really put it into, you know, whether he was in French or English or both, but he banged his knuckles and he went, and Wade, my dad's younger brother, started laughing because it's funny. And then my grandpa went to swing at him, and he banged his knuckles again. And then Wade lost it. And he's down there trying to punch Wade, and he keeps banging his finger, you know, his knuckles on the car. Well, finally he came out from under there, and Wade took off, and my dad was standing there trying to keep a straight face. And my grandpa walked by him, and he said, and you, You're just like him. And my dad lost it then. He just fell completely apart. There's something humorous about cursing. The comedians know that, amen? One time, we had an uncle named Patrick. He was an uncle by marriage. And he would go around and he'd say, oh dear, oh bother, you know, oh my. And my dad told him one time, he said, man, if I couldn't curse any worse than Winnie the Pooh, I think I'd hang it up. You know, try something else. I think Patrick was trying to watch his mouth around a bunch of kids, amen. But he just, you know, oh dear, oh bother. He sounded like Piglet from Christopher Robin. My dad took his boys on a fishing trip one time. He had them all out on the boat, and Sheldon was a little kid. He's a teenager, I guess. And, of course, you know, most kids, they don't pick up the bad language at the school. They pick it up at home before they ever go to school, listening to Dad. And sometimes Mom. Get her mad enough, you know. And so, anyway, something happened with David when he was fishing. I don't know if he lost a hook or somebody hooked him or the fish got off the hook. But Sheldon went, M, like that. And my dad said, what'd you say? And he said, just said M, Dad. Just said M. That's funny, folks. He just said M, the letter M for no reason, right? Leviticus 19:14 says, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God, I am the Lord. Now, why does God have that law? Don't curse the deaf. How's it going to hurt him? He's deaf. The thing is if you curse the deaf, everybody around thinks it's funny. You're picking on this deaf guy. And the Lord says, don't do that. That's not funny. He says, you don't put a stumbling block before the blind. You cause the guy to trip. Oh, ha, ha, big deal, ha, ha, ha. You know what that is? That's cursing. It's funny, but it's sin. I'm all for having a good laugh. I'm all for enjoying yourself, amen. If anybody has a right to laugh, it's a Christian who's saved by the blood of Christ and heaven's his home and he's got all the promises of God, amen. There's all reason in the world to laugh and rejoice. But that kind of laughter is off limits for the Christian. 2 Timothy 2:16 says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Profane, what is that? That's worldly. That's taking something that should be sacred and making fun of it. And that's what the comedians do. You know, Monty Python, a bunch of funny guys. Very, very funny guys. Most of them brilliant. But they can't help themselves, you know. They can't just pick on the Holy Grail. They got to make the life of Brian and mock the New Testament. You know, people during that time, I believe in picking your battles, and you know, people want that, they want to raise a stink. The problem is Christians need to get out of Hollywood instead of trying to clean it up. It's a hopeless case, amen? But the comedians can't help but venture into Bible territory because there's something about profanity that's humorous. Oh, we're just having a good time. Oh, we're just laughing. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Yep. I'm just like you. I like to have a good time like the next person. But there ought to be a line that's drawn between the sacred and the profane. We can all give examples of children who don't realize what they're saying. When my dad was younger, he got mad about something. I don't remember what it was, but he told us this story. He was just a young little lad, and he ran outside in the backyard. And he hollered, Heil Hitler to the whole world! That's the worst curse word that he knew at that time, back during World War II. And my grandma heard it, and he says, one of the worst beatings he ever got in his life. He didn't know what he was saying. He didn't know who Hitler was. All he knew was Heil Hitler was bad stuff, amen, during World War II. So he went out in the backyard in Harahan and said, screamed Heil Hitler to the whole world. That was the last time he ever said that, amen. Matter of fact, that thing was so, that whipping that he got was so thorough that I never, ever, ever dreamed about saying Heil Hitler to the whole world. I don't think my son did either. We had a precious young girl in this church years ago, and she came up to these ladies during the break, and she said, oh, Miss Lorraine, Miss Michelle, y'all look so ignorant. And the look on their faces told her something was wrong. She meant to say elegant, but it came out ignorant, and she said, I don't know what that word means. We can all laugh about that. Amen. It's funny. The children are innocent in those respects, and they don't know. Some people don't know how to express themselves, and so they use that kind of language, you know. But this morning, I want to talk about the unclean spirit that comes out of your mouth. Revelation 16:13 says, and I saw three unclean spirit like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. whenever a person speaks, one of three spirits comes out of their mouth. The spirit of man, the Holy Spirit, or an unclean spirit. And if you curse, you use curse words, that's an unclean spirit coming out of your mouth. James 1:26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, I know you as a Bible believer, you say, well, I don't have religion. I know, but the Bible speaks about religion as a life, and as a manner of life, and as a the way that you conduct yourself. He says, pure religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions. And he says, if you seem to be religious and you don't take care of this thing, then all your works, all your religious works are in vain. Judges 17, verse 2. What happens in this passage is there's this lady who's a Baalite, and she's saving up her money to buy some statues to put into the house. And her son steals the money from her. And she curses. And so her son hears her curse and he says, Mama, the money that you cursed about, here it is. And she says, well, bless your heart. Here it is, Judges chapter 17, verse 2. He said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedst, and spakest also in my ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. I mean, one day she's cursing, and the next day she's saying, blessed be thou of the Lord. You know what that is? That's a religious person whose religion is in vain because they don't bridle their tongue. James 3, verse 8 through 12, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain you both yield salt water and fresh. You filled with the Spirit of God, then the curse word should not ever come out of your lips. And if they do, it's not an evidence of your being filled with the right spirit, but with the wrong spirit. Christ said, out of the issue of the heart, the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good fruit, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart will bring forth evil fruit. You might not think it's a big deal, but God does. And he spent enough time putting it in his book that it makes a big deal and it needs to be dealt with. We live in a generation where this thing is so commonplace that we become accustomed to it. Matthew 12, 34 through 37. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For lo, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's pretty strong. You realize that your salvation depends upon what you confess with your mouth? Right. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. All right, by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. How many times have you damned something or someone? You think God won't hear that? You think God doesn't consider answering those prayers? That's a prayer. Psalm 62:4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Old preacher used to play golf, and they asked his caddy, an old man that caddied for him, they asked him, they said, did that preacher ever lose his temper on the golf course and swear? And that caddy said, no, he never did. He said, but sometimes he would have the most profane look on his face. It's kind of being nitpicky right there, you know. But the idea is you're being watched. There's somebody watching you. There's somebody watching you. And you know what they said about Peter? They said, you're one of this man's disciples because your speech bewrayeth thee. Yeah. And then Peter, what'd he do? He began to curse and to swear and say, I know not the man. Job 1 verse 5, it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So, you know, you may not speak it out loud, but it might still be down there. Now, some of these points may blend over the others, but I separate them for the sake of the outline. The first is this, filthiness. Filthiness, cursing for the sake of being filthy. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. James 1 verse 19 through 21, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Colossians 3 verse 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. What's a filthy mouth? What's filthy communication? It's talking about something that's a body function and debasing that thing for the sake of being disgusting is what it is. You know the words. They're common. I used to have an old tract that we'd pass out at Mardi Gras. It was one of my favorites. And on the front cover, it had a guy whose eyes were bulging out and his tongue was hanging out. And it said, want to see something dirty? And great for Mardi Gras, right? And everybody's like, yeah. And when you open it up, it said, you are a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner. And then it gave him the plan of salvation, right? But a lot of curse words have to do with filth. Speaking filthy words. Philippians 3 verse 8 says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul wasn't being a potty mouth when he said the word dung. He was being accurate in his description of this thing, because if you count those things that you've lost for Christ dung, you're not sorry to see those things go. When's the last time you got off the commode and you said, well, sorry, old friend, it's going to be a long time we'll ever meet again. Hope, you know. No, you're happy to see it go, amen? That's the whole point of the thing. It's disgusting, right? Well, Paul's not being a potty mouth. He's not using that language to color his expressions or shock his audience. He's being accurate in his description of the things that are behind. He says, the things that I've lost for Christ are dung to me. They're waste. I needed to get rid of it. Amen. 2 Peter 2 verse 7 says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now, who was Lot surrounded by? I'll give you a guess. Sodom and Gomorrah. God did not burn those cities for tax evasion. He burned them for the sin of Sodom. Filthy behavior. And something that goes along with that particular filthy behavior is a filthy communication and bragging about that behavior as if it's something to be celebrated and proud of. You know what I'm talking about. It says that he vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. How do you know it was what they were saying as well as what they were doing? They were talking about it. They were bragging about it. Who they scored on, what they did last night. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 22, it says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. He didn't just rape Noah. He bragged about it. You see? Filthy. Christians got no business talking that way. 1 Corinthians 13:6 says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. You know, the King James Bible has the word, it uses the word unseemly only twice in the entire Bible. One is in Romans chapter 1, verse 27. It says, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. It says that that homosexual relationship is unseemly. It's not real love. How do you know that? Because 1 Corinthians 13:5 is the only other time in the Bible that unseemly is used, and it said that charity doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. The problem with the filthy mouth and the filthy communications is that it's a result of filthy behavior that should be hidden and should be you should be ashamed of it, but for some reason people like to brag about those things. Proverbs 15:26 says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words." Proverbs 30:12 says, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness." I said, well, what's wrong with it? As long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Listen, it does untold damage both to your soul and to the people around you, as well as hurts God. You say, well, how does it hurt God? Because the Bible says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, and Christ died for our sins, and I don't want to add to the weight. And I'm not going to brag about my sins. If I'm going to do the best I can to confess them and judge them and hide them and cover them, but I'm not going to brag about them. And that's what filthiness is. It brags about sin. It brags about wicked behavior. Number two, insults. People curse one another because they want to insult people. They call them different things. I don't have to list them out this morning. But in Job 31, verse 29 and 30, it says, "If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him, neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul." You know, the neighbor, you know, they dump their garbage on your lawn, or they let their dog mess in your yard, you know. Dirty, such and such. You know what that is? That's an insult. It's, oh, you blankety blank, you know, it's used as an insult. It's wishing a curse to the soul. In 2 Samuel 16, verse 5 through 12, David is running from his son Absalom, and as he's leaving, Shimei starts cursing him. And says, you dirty dog, you bloody mess, you're getting what you deserve, you dirty so-and-so. And David's right-hand man, one of his mighty men, says, how dare that guy curse my lord the king? He says, let me go take his head off. And David says, nope, you didn't do anything to him. Let him curse. He says, maybe God told him to curse me, which is not likely. But you know what David says? He says, maybe God will bless me for his cursing. Now, with that kind of attitude, I have to think that God, listening to that, said, well, no, I got to bless him with that. I got to bless him now. He's not defending himself. He's not giving in kind. He's not throwing back insults when he certainly could have the guy's head cut off. You know, God takes care of those who don't take care of themselves. Ecclesiastes 7:21 and 22 says, also take no heed unto all words that are spoken. Good advice. Don't listen to everything people say. Also take no heed to all unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Romans 3:13 says, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. You got filthy talk. You got insulting, cursing. You got swearing. Number three, swearing. Matthew 5, verse 34 through 36, Jesus said, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, for because thou canst not make one hair white or black. James 5:12 says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Mark 14, verse 71, Peter says he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. That swearing has to do with involving God in it. King Saul had problems with that. If you read King Saul over there in 1 Samuel, every time that guy turned around, he was saying, as the Lord liveth, as the Lord liveth, as the Lord liveth. He said on one occasion, he says, as the Lord liveth, whoever eats before I'm avenged of my enemies, the same is going to be put to death. He's going to die. As the Lord liveth. Then it turns out Jonathan had some honeycomb. He didn't hear that oath. And he ate some honeycomb and he got some strength and he got his eyes open about some things. And it turned out that Saul said, all right, somebody ate. And as the Lord liveth, that whoever that was, they're going to die, even if it's me or my son. and they cast lots, they draw straws or whatever, and the thing ends up turning on Saul and Jonathan, and Saul says, all right, boy, cast the lot, you know, and the thing turns out it's Jonathan. And Jonathan said, well, man, I didn't know. I had a little honey, you know. I didn't hear you swear about the thing. And Saul says, I'll tell you what, I swore by God, you're going to have to die, and you're going to have to die. And then all the people said, well, you can't kill the greatest guy we got in the army. You can't kill the prince, Prince Jonathan. No, take me. I'll die in his place. And finally, King Saul, because of the pressure put on him by the people, he says, all right, as the Lord liveth, he won't die. Wait a minute, man. Three verses earlier, you were saying, as the Lord liveth, he will die. All this swearing and casting around these swears with God's name, you know what happened? You know who ended up dying? Both Saul and Jonathan on a battlefield. Because the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You better find another way to swear, and that is let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Because he says, swear not at all. When you start doing that thing, you involve heaven. Christ says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Right? That's not just the lovely prayers, the serenity prayers. That's also the curses. Number four, profanity. Profanity. What is that? That's the irreverence of sacred things. This is the things that the comedians are involved in. Like I said, they sadly get to the point where they think they can't be funny unless they use profanity. Many comedians are geniuses. Many of them very swift and very witty people. And it's a shame, you know, some of the best comedians, like, you know, the old days, Red Skelton, the guys was clean, and they told stories, and they were funny stories. And there's something to be said for that, amen? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And there's nothing wrong with those kind of things. But where the guy becomes a fool is where he starts involving God and making fun of things that are holy, or where he starts using profanity and cursing. You know the word hell? It's a real place. It's a Bible word. But it should not be used in your vocabulary for anything outside of that. And yet we have people all the time. Oh, he's hell on wheels. All hell broke loose yesterday. Man, it hurts like hell. Oh, it's hot as hell here in Louisiana. What the hell? Who in hell are you? Where in hell have I seen you before? And the guy says, well, where in hell do you come? People talk about going through hell. We miss him like hell. We're trying like hell. It's hotter than hell. Scared the hell out of me. It's a hell of a job. It's been a hell of a party. I'm excited as hell. I'm praying like hell. I hope to hell. That beats the hell out of me. Sure as hell. Till hell freezes over. Chance of a snowball in hell. A bat out of hell. Raise hell. There'll be hell to pay. Go to hell. With all that stuff, you know what that shows? That shows that the world has reached a stage in their damnation where the word hell has as many meanings as people want to give it. But hell's a place where lost sinners go and spend an eternity separated from God. That's not something to make a joke about. Dr. Ruckman used to fly all over the place preaching at different meetings and different churches and stuff around America and other foreign countries. And when he'd get on the plane, before it take off, he would pray and he'd ask God to take all the dams off the plane. Because, you know, the pilot, he's been cursing all morning and asking God to blankety-blank this and blankety-blank that. And the coffee was cold and damn this and damn that. And Dr. Ruckman said, Lord, please take all the dams off of this plane before it takes off. Amen. A wise thing to do. Well, you have what you call Christian cursing, where it's not the actual word, but it's kind of cleaned up to where it's, you know, you can kind of get away with it. Little kids use it a lot. You know, gosh, golly. What is that? That's the Lord's name, God. It's just used in a cleaned up fashion, you know. Oh, darn. Shucks. Heck. Geez. Gee whiz. Here's a weird one. You ever hear odds bodkins? You know, that's an old fashioned explanation. That means God's body. You better be aware of what's coming out of your mouth. And you better be careful about profaning things that are sacred. Damnation. You might have loved ones that are burning in hell right now. I wouldn't think that was a joke. And I wouldn't think it was something that you would think it was so light that you would put that on your lips as some sort of a curse word. What about the blood of Christ? You know what they say over in England? Oh, this bloody, that's a curse word in England, saying that, bloody. You don't want to ever call a German a Schweinhund. You know what that is? That's pig dog, swine hound. just so happens that the Bible speaks about the false teachers as swine and as dogs in 1 Peter. Well, I won't get into all the foreign cursing words. Amen. Most people that took Spanish in high school, the only words they remember are the filthy ones. Using God's name in vain. Hebrews 6:16 says, "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife." In other words, when you use the name of God, when you swear, you put your hand on the Bible and you swear to tell the truth, so help me God, you know what you're doing? You're invoking the name of the greatest authority in the universe, the greatest judge. Amen? That's why it says men swear by the greater. Nobody goes, "Ah, Buddha." Nobody hits their thumb with an hammer and says, "Muhammad." No, they all say Jesus, they say Christ, they say God. You know why? Because that's the name that's above every name. That's where there's power behind that thing. And it's not to be used lightly.
Amen.
The news media, what they call the old gray lady, you know, the newspapers. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." You know what a newspaper is, or anything like it? Of course, now newspapers are going the way of the dinosaur. Now it's all online, on the computer. But all that stuff, you know, it's a perfect example of leaven. Mixing together things that don't belong. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, the Bible says. You pick up a newspaper or a website, you know what you have? You know, they'll report the news, the so-called news. Over here will be an axe murder. And then over here, so-and-so's getting married. And then over here, you got a little kid having a lemonade stand in the neighborhood. And over here, somebody got kicked out of a school for wearing a T-shirt that nobody agreed with. And then over here is a recipe for rabbit gumbo. You know what that is? That's taking all that junk and just mixing it. It's a big leaven mess. And the news media is famous for that. They're famous for creating gods and devils. You know what they're making Trump out to be? They're making him more. Oh, he's Hitler. Really? Really? You know, once you call somebody Hitler, you kind of run out of names to call people, unless you can start calling him Satan himself, right? I mean, they didn't even pass the go to collect $200. They didn't start off low and then escalate. They said, "He's Hitler," before he even got elected. He came down the escalator and they said, "Hitler!" You know what that is? That's evidence of somebody who's lost their marbles. They're insane, amen? Profane and old wives' fables, like, you know, follow the science, you know, make the mask will protect you. Well, they've long since proved, even the liberals, even CNN has to show them the masks didn't work, they never will work. And yet, I saw a person the other day driving, I was delivering business cards to one of our customers, and there was this guy riding a bicycle down the sidewalk, and wasn't anybody around him for 15 yards, and had a mask on. COVID can catch you riding a bike in God's fresh air. We're all in trouble. Amen.
Yeah.
I like what one guy said. He says, "When the birds start falling out of the air, I'll put a mask on. Till then, I'm just going to breathe God's fresh air." Profane and old wives' fable, like evolution, you know. You ever hear somebody say, "I'll be a monkey's uncle"? That's a form of cursing. That's a form of denying Christ. You say, "How?" It seems so innocent. It's saying that God didn't create you a man. He created you an animal. You can live like an animal. I have the morals of an animal. I'll be monkey's uncle. How about this? Or you ever hear, "I'll be John Brown"? You know, like I said, Southerners, they come up with all these cleaned up Christian curse words. John Brown was a man who was hung on a tree as a criminal. The Bible says, "Cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree." You know what you're saying when you say, "I'll be John Brown"? You're saying, "I'll be cursed, I'll be damned. By thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." I know it hurts me as much as it hurts you. Number 5, we're about words of cursing, words of rebellion. Exodus 21:17, "And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Proverbs 20:20, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Proverbs 30:11, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." You know what that is? That's cursing for rebellious sake. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, "Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft." and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Witchcraft is going outside of God's normal order of things. It's rebelling against that order. The head of the child is the parent. The head of the wife is the husband. The head of the husband is Christ. See, God's got that order. The head of Christ is God. Witchcraft is circumventing that order of things and in rebellion, going outside this to try to find truth about the future. It's witchcraft. Okay, just as much as if somebody had a crystal ball. Well, some cursing has to do with rebellion. Somebody cursing their father and their mother, why would they do that? Because they wouldn't let them go out with their friends? Because they wouldn't let them have the things that they want? Because they told them no in order to protect them? Because they cared for them and loved them? You know, when I was a teenager, I was saved, and my dad went against my wishes. And I didn't have the guts to tell him to his face, but I went in my bedroom and I shook my fist in his direction without him knowing it, and I cursed him. Boy, I regret that to this day. You say, well, it's only by God's grace I'm not underground right now. You say, Brother Adam, do you really did such a thing? Yeah, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And this thing right here is just as rotten as anybody else's. And just because I was saved didn't keep me charged with the responsibility of watching my mouth. And my dad's dead and with the Lord now, and I regret ever doing that. Thank God I got right with God, and I love my dad, had a good relationship when he went home to be in glory. But that thing still haunts me. You ever curse your parents? And maybe some of it might be justified, but if you curse them, somebody's listening. Somebody's recording it. How about cursing politicians? You know, my boss has a T-shirt. Let's go, Brandon. You all know what that is, right? I don't have to explain it. You know what that is? That's Proverbs 11:26 says, "He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him." There's the president. There's his bureaucracy. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Proverbs 24:24. "He that saith unto the wicked, Thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him." This guy's in charge of people because nations abhor him. And he's saying that the wicked are righteous, like his son, Hunter. If Hunter had the last name Trump, they'd have put him in an electric chair by now. And of course, you know we have a double standard. Nobody's more educated about that than God's people. But the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10:20, "Curse not the king, know not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter." What is that bird of the air and that which hath wings? It's not ravens and crows, it's devils. And if you curse the king in your bedchamber and in your thought, the devil can read your thoughts. He brings that up to God and says, "What about that? What about you said to pray for those ones that are in authority, and this guy is cursing them?" It's rebellion. Isaiah 8, verse 20-22, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God, and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness." You know why God says don't curse the king? Because he says they curse their king and their God. God's next. Don't curse your parents. Don't curse your king. Don't curse your president. Don't curse your God. It's rebellion. Number 6, and last of all, blasphemy. Blasphemy. Blasphemy is taking the name of God and cursing Him. It's not just using the Lord's name in vain. That happens a lot. People say, "God damn this," and "God this," and "Jesus that." You know, that's using His name in vain. But blasphemy is actually cursing God directly. Not another human, but cursing God. And the Bible speaks about the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, which never hath forgiveness. And there are a lot of people that worry about whether they can commit that sin or not. The truth is, you can't commit that sin. Because in order to commit that sin, according to the scripture, it says, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. You would have to become a Judean Jew back in the time of Christ and meet him in the flesh and accuse him of having an unclean spirit. That's what the Pharisees did. They committed that unpardonable sin. You can't do that. Thank God, because you probably would have. Amen? Isn't it something about us? If there's a possibility, you might do it. You probably do, with exceptions. Obviously, there are exceptions, thank God. I mean, I have the propensity to be a child rapist, but by the grace of God, God's done a work in my life, and I've restrained myself to the degree where that stuff is repulsive to me, by the grace of God. But I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, and that the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And if I get away from this thing long enough and I quench the spirit long enough, I'm capable of doing anything that those people do. So I have to stay close. I have to stay strict. Amen. Blasphemy. You can commit blasphemy by cursing God. And there's a lot of reasons why people curse God. They become disappointed in him. They don't understand his behavior. They're disappointed and they're angry at something that God allowed in their lives. And a lot of people lose a child, are tempted to curse God and say, what are you doing picking on a little kid? You know, and atheists, that's their big argument. If there is a God and he's good and he's powerful, how come he didn't stop all this garbage? And there's a biblical answer, amen. But the truth is that the human heart is prone to blasphemy because we can't know his thoughts. We don't know his ways. They're higher than ours. Apart from the scripture, God looks like a bad guy. Amen. It's not until he reveals himself that we realize that he's good and he's righteous and he's holy and he's kind and merciful and just. But if you just judge him based upon his dealings and what he allows and doesn't allow, it'll either turn you into an atheist or you'll say God is Satan, if you're honest. Job 1 verse 11, Satan told God, he said, put forth your hand now and touch all that he hath, talking about Job, and he says, and he will curse thee to thy face. Job figured the only reason that Job's behaving himself is because you've blessed him and you've given him all these things that are his heart's content. He says, take it all away now and he'll curse your face. In Job 2:9, it says, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. As soon as God gave Satan permission to do what he did to Job, I mean, he lost all 10 of his children in one day. He lost all of his cattle, all of his possessions in one day. And the next day, he was smitten from the top of his head to the sole of his feet with boils, an incurable disease. And his lovely wife, who was there to be a help to him, she said, curse God and die. The devil filled his wife. That wasn't Job's wife talking, that was the devil talking through her. Curse God and die. Well, you know what Job said? He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. He didn't even give the devil any credit. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not with his lips, nor charged God foolishly. Leviticus 24, verses 10 through 16. Some, an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and the son of an Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. They're fighting, fist fighting. And this guy loses his temper and he goes, and he uses God's name. He blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head. And let all the congregation stone him, and thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. The death penalty for blaspheming God. You know, they accused Christ of blasphemy, but he didn't blaspheme God. He just said he was God's son, making himself equal with God. But it was the truth. This guy cursed and blasphemed the name of the Lord and died for it. Same God. He hadn't changed his mind. He hadn't loosened up. Isaiah 37:23. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel. Let me tell you something. One day you're going to stand before God, lost or saved. You will give an account. And every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And there's not going to be any snickering then. There's not going to be giggling then. There's not going to be any laughing or mocking going on then. It'll be, oh my God. It'll be the same thing that they say when the ambulance is pulling up at the car wreck. Oh my God. It'll be the same thing they say when their baby's in intensive care. Oh my God. Oh my God. And then it becomes, oh God. Oh God. And then, oh. First Timothy 1 verse 19 and 20, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. You want to get turned over to Satan? You know who Satan is. He's as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. James 2, 7, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? You know what? If you would make up your mind as a Christian that every time you hear the Lord's name used in vain, that you would speak up for Him and defend His holy name and defend His honor, you know what a blessing that would be both to you and to the Lord? And what a testimony it would be to the people that are commonly using God's name as a curse word? They don't know that they're blaspheming, but they are. Blasphemy is a characteristic of the Antichrist. Psalm 10, verse 7, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Psalm 59, 12, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Psalm 109, 17 and 18, as he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with a garment, so let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. You know what Revelation says? It says that beast opens his mouth and he blasphemes the God of heaven and blasphemes everyone who's in heaven. We had a sister here once who was a charismatic before she got right with the Lord, and she spoke in unknown tongues. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, it says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And the thing about unknown tongues is the gift of tongues in the Bible is languages, foreign languages that can be interpreted. But unknown tongues is this gibberish, this babble that nobody can interpret. It's not a language. Right. Matter of fact, that phenomenon of speaking in unknown tongues you can find in Hinduism and Eastern religions and Buddhism. It's not a specifically a Christian thing. Matter of fact, if you study 2,000 years of church history, you don't find any of that foolishness going on in the church until the 1950s. Right. I'm sorry. Early 1900s, a woman preacher in Azusa Street Mission in Los Angeles, California, named Amy Simple McPherson, started that business. All church history, you don't find that stuff, and it props up in America and California, of all places, Los Angeles. Okay, can there anything good thing come out of Los Angeles? But this lady that was in our congregation a while back, you know what she said? She said she had a real problem with her mouth, cursing and stuff. And so as a charismatic, instead of cursing, she trained herself to speak in tongues, in unknown tongues instead. So, you know, she'd go out and instead of saying damn this or damn that, she'd go hush-da-da-da-da, like that, you know. She'd say her little tongues and let off her steam. And then she was in our church one day when I was teaching and preaching about unknown tongues and read this verse about cursing Christ. You know, if you don't know what you're saying, you could be cursing Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah. And that lady, the color drained from her face. And afterwards, she said, you know, this is what I used to do. She said, instead of using curse words, I would use this babble. And she says, I was still cursing and didn't realize it. I said, that's right. Because the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You're supposed to be in control of this thing. And if you don't know what you're saying, don't say it. The way to get victory over cursing is to fill our mouth with blessings. The one way to do that is get Scripture and memorize it. And when you're tempted to curse, memorize some Scriptures on cursing and memorize some Scriptures on blessing, and have those things all over in your mind so that you can overcome that bad habit. It becomes a habit. Some people don't even realize that they're doing it. And the way to get victory is to replace it with something better. Blessing. Romans 12:14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Don't curse them, bless them. And I'm going to talk about the old southern times. Oh, bless their heart, you know, when they got daggers shooting out of their eyes. No, I mean real blessing. Amen. You got a real sure enough enemy that hates your guts? Witness to them. Give them the gospel. Pray for them. Bless them. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. But doesn't stop there. He says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Instead of cursing, replace it with blessing, and you'll have the victory. I know you'll slip up every once in a while. Everybody does, including me. But that doesn't make it right. That doesn't excuse it. We ought to be pressing toward the high mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We got the Lord watching us. We got people watching us. We got our kids watching us. We have a responsibility to be their example, and we need to put a watch on this thing. God gave you two rows of teeth to guard and to bite that thing. Amen? Amen. Are the only times whenever you bless people is when they sneeze? Think about that. God bless you. God bless you. Then they get your blessing. Well, how about blessing them without that? Psalm 34:1. This is when David changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and departed. He said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." If you've got God's praise continually in your mouth, there's no room for curse words. 1 Corinthians 4:11, even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Somebody reviles you, you bless them. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. And last of all, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know what he says? He says, bless and curse not. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you and we plead guilty as charged. Whether we have verbally expressed these things, Lord, we know that they reside inside the human heart. And somebody might think, well, my grandmother, she was an innocent little Christian woman. She never had an ill thought toward anybody. They haven't lived very long, Lord. They don't know what your book says. We know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we know, Lord, that it is a common thing, not a non-common thing. It is a prevalent thing, not something that is occasional. And so it deserves to be brought out into the light and exposed to the Word of God so that we can see it for what it is outside of ourselves, so that we might be to a degree shocked into the reality of how vile it is. With the same mouth we bless God and curse men. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Help us, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. And without you, Lord, our attempts at trying to bless people will seem like hypocrisy. We're much more honest and much more closer to the truth when we're cursing. And that's because of a bad motivation and a bad outlook. So wash us in the blood of Christ, Lord, and help us and fill our mouths with praise. And help us to bless you and to bless one another. And this we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Thanks.